But God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. And so it's great to have everyone on. And it's been a wonderful week for me. I know that. What we'll do before I carry on, I would like, Cindy, would you be blessed to open up a word of prayer, darling?
Father, I thank you for this fellowship today, for great teaching and a great sharing and just great fellowship among us all. And I thank you for just blessing everybody and letting us all absorb a lot from everything that's taught today and apply it in our lives. And just for meeting everybody's needs here and blessing everybody in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, it just comes to my mind, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, you know, and like God really does hear our prayers, and we can go to him with great confident expectation. So what I'm inspired to do, Amy, as I know that you want to share, is start off with you. Away you go, honey.
All right. Well, God bless you, everybody, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful week. I will say, I got so excited just a minute ago because I was looking for Lawrence's text, his email, which I didn't find. But in the interim, somebody had bought something from my business on my website, so I got excited.
Oh,
oh wow.
So I'm like, woo, I know, right? I didn't know it was there. I went on to look for your email, and I just saw it. Somebody just made a purchase on my website, which is really cool because I went into the store yesterday, and I had been, you know, I've been praying for my business, and you know, I'm just in my mind. I want to. There's this thing that I want to do. All this stuff that you know is you have. You know, everybody in Mary Kay gets very excited about everything. But I realized, you know, working quietly in the quietness of what God has for us, we're responsible to work as we are led by the Spirit of God. And then God prospers that. And these are the things that I thought about. I was thinking about Job and his relationship with God. You know, Job lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his business, his home. He lost everything. Man went from being one of the wealthiest men in the East, and the Word of God says he was the wealthiest man in the East, to nothing. And then he had all these guys that were hanging around him telling him why he lost it all. It must have been something he did. But the thing about it is when God replaced those things, I have been thinking about that, you know. He didn't just give him back. It's just that his life didn't stop. And, you know, it's not like his children could be replaced. He gave him more children. So it wasn't that, you know, that as if they could be replaced. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He gave him more. He gave him more. He gave him more children. He gave him more. But it all took time. It didn't just appear out of nowhere. But it was his faith, his standing, his, he didn't move off of the existence of a father that loved him. And this is before Spirit Inn. You know, this is before knowing God as Abba. This was knowing God as Jehovah. This was knowing God as Elohim. This was knowing God as something other than Abba. We know him as Abba. And every day something different has been taking place where, you know, God is removing these things in my thought processes where I used to just think that, you know, well, you're supposed to just happen, but it isn't like that. And here's the thing I have to share with you, especially Kim. I love you so much, Kim.
Oh. Thank you, Amy.
I was working out the other day, and it was so cool how God did this, shared this with me. But I was working out, and I was doing, he's got this thing, it's called DOTS, and he's got this stuff that you put on the floor, you put your feet on the floor, and they help you to move back and forth. So you're like in a push-up position, and you're doing something called mountain climbers. And the mountain climbers is when you move your legs back and forth as if you're climbing a mountain. You're in a push-up position, and you're just moving your legs back and forth as if you're climbing a mountain or climbing stairs, okay?
Yeah.
So you're on the ground doing that. I am in great pain, people. Great pain. To the point of And when I got up off the floor, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking about it, you know, it says, I thought of, and he will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And I almost just broke down right there on the spot.
Wow.
Because it's not magic. It is work. And I was thinking about Job. Job went back to work. You know, and it wasn't as if he was working for that. It was just in the peace of knowing who he is. And just knowing that God will provide, he just went back to work. And then God did those things. Now, here's the thing, guys. As bad as that need felt, it does not feel like that anymore. And I have no idea. It still happens.
You're breaking up a bit, Amy.
Does not feel like that. Hello?
Hello, yeah, you was breaking up a bit, darling.
Oh, okay.
As long as you don't shake too far and get back to my Alice's, you're good. I was lifted up till 2016. I was lifting heavy weights. You can do anything. Even when you're over 50.
You're just too hot for the recording.
You know what? It really is. It's this, you know, the realization that, you know, anything, we are born from above. You know, it has to affect everything. When Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, the Word of God says that but for the joy that was set before him. God showed him something in the future that he held on to, what he was going to accomplish. So all of that he went through, it was like, you know what, I realized that there's a plan, these things that are set, but there are steps, there's process, there's, you know, God can do anything. But he's just not gonna, you know, it just doesn't pop out. It's just, I don't know, I'm so thankful because what I realized is I am not normal, not like everybody else. And when I was about 11 or 12 years old, that's all I wanted to be, was just normal. I just want to be normal. And God was just like, you know, I think he's been working on that ever since I was about that age. You're just not going to be that way.
What's normal?
Who knows? But whatever it was when I was 12 or 13 years old, I figured out that whatever it was, I wasn't, and I wanted to be. But you know, I think it's just seeing, I think it is, as a matter of fact, as I sit here and I'm thinking about it, it's looking and seeing what everybody else has, you know. And I was reading in Matthew this morning, you know, and it says in the Peshitta New Testament, one of the notes for that verse, it says, if the right eye offend thee, cut it out.
Yeah.
And if the note says, the cultural thing is, if you keep seeing things that you envy, cut it out or stop it.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, is that what that means? But the thing is that it's just, the realization that we have been removed from this world, whether we see it or don't see it or no, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, we were removed. We were given something that was huge. is to be born again has not only an effect on our spiritual being, but it has an effect on this body that carries around that Holy Spirit. So, you know, if we go through some stuff, it's okay. We're going to come out all right. And that was what I learned when I was, you know, doing all that exercising and doing all that crying and laying on the floor. And it's like, you know what, it's okay, because I'm going to come out all right. You know, and I was thinking about Jesus Christ when he was with his disciples when they were going to the garden. You know, him talking to them is, he was just trying, you know, he was encouraging them so that when they came out on the other side, they'd be all right. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just, I don't know, I'm just seeing so many wonderful things and how God works. And he works with each one of us right where we're at to bring us to a greater place. It is just awesome. We are born from above. We have such a new life. Everything about that spirit that has been placed in us makes a difference in everything we do. And therefore, we keep our mouth and our eyes and our thoughts focused on Him and on His Word and what He has accomplished in our Lord Jesus the Christ. Just to cast down imaginations. And I thought, okay, wait a minute. So my vain reasoning, that's just anything that I've accepted above what God has said. So I'm going through these, the faith and confessions, and I'm going through that because I want my mouth, my words, and my heart to line up with what the Word says. Not to the end that I'm getting anything, but to the end that I'm living who I am.
Amen.
does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because we tend to approach things like we're trying to get something from God, when in all actuality, that's not the whole point. It's just to have Him. You know, what I realized as I was going through the faith and confessions is that there's so much that God wants us to have, and it's not looking at the having part of it. It's just that what he's saying is, I could do that. Don't worry about that. I could do that. Why are you So I was like, oh. So I started that, and I'm on the second session, and honestly, I am going to listen to the second session again. I'm just going to tell you. I also started listening to how to heal the sick and cast out devils. And, yeah. And again, changing the perspective is not me that I'm trying to get something. It's living out who I am.
Yeah.
That's a big deal, who we are. It is not, I can't force it, but I have the authority. I have the authority to say, I can walk up to someone and, you know, that person in, you know, in giving them the word and speaking the word, which is who I am. So we're, you know, our whole position is we have moved from trying to mix the stuff of this world. We're not in this world. We're here. We're not of it.
Amen.
But our thing is to get people to realize that, hey, look, this is all smoke and mirrors. Don't get caught up in this, because it's all going to be gone. It truly is. It's all going to be gone. And it ain't about coming out, you know, making all this life so great. Well, God can do that. He's going to make your life great. But in the interim, what do? We speak His words. Well, as I was going through the faith and confessions and going through how to heal the sick and cast out devils, two things I realized is I have the authority. Not only do I have the authority, but what I speak, you know, as I am telling about Christ, as I am sitting in the position of one who is risen from the dead and speaking God's word, those who hear will come to be healed.
Yes.
They will come because the words of God will draw them. That light draws people. It draws.
Amen.
But it ain't going to be because I ran out to grab somebody and say, hey, look, you need to be healed and I'm going to do it.
More like to tear them off.
That is not going to happen. So, yes, Lawrence, thank you so much. That faith and confession is just, it is not trying to get. It is who we are. Be. I do.
Yes.
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it certainly does. We don't be yes. to do. We do because we know who we are.
Yes, exactly. You know, and we get so caught up in, I got so caught up in not doing because, you know, it was, I'm just sitting here just like, okay, this is not happening. And the thing is that I realize I'm looking for the happening rather than just being who I am.
Yeah.
So instead of just, you know, trying to, you know, oh, you made this mistake, or you made that mistake, or this is a bad decision, or that's a bad decision, or whatever those things. Just, you know, no, just be who you are.
Yeah.
The things that God has to give, you know, these are the sons of God. They are led by the Spirit of God. Allow yourself to be led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And that requires, you know, some attention to his word. You know?
Amen. Amen.
We speak, teach about his son.
Yes.
Yeah, we can't just, you know, it's an exciting life. It really is, but it's not exciting because we make it that way. It is because its verse is very different. It's very different from the world around you. It is very different. And that makes it exciting. Because you're not living this normal, mundane, trying to get this, trying to get that. We're not living like that.
No.
We're just teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ because that's the most important thing. God wants is for us, you know, he would all have all men to be saved.
Yes.
All men.
All men.
But if we don't get involved, we have to get involved, and that means just be who we are. You guys, I am just so blessed about being who we are. It's an amazing thing. Kim Hiley?
Yeah, I'm here.
You got anything you want to share with us?
Oh, sure, I had to have. Yesterday we had our book Bible study at once a month. The church, and we spent 90 minutes. We obviously previously read up on the Book of Ruth, but we spent yesterday evening just looking at all that developed and how it wasn't just a cameo story of love, but it was about the devotion, the redemption, and how God moved. And obviously it was to keep the lineage going from Jesse to David, and for Jesus Christ. So we just did a thorough study, and it was just a heartwarming story, but it's just how she trusted in Naomi. She clung to her when the other daughter-in-law went back. And it's just wonderful, and how she proved herself not only to be humble, but also a woman of virtue. And it was just a great time we spent, and all of us had our own different meanings. So it was just a great evening of the Word yesterday, and we do it once a month. We get together, and next month it'll be in the Book of Ephesians, which should be quite interesting, all six chapters. But the other day I was privileged to be asked to, if I consider becoming a warden for the church. So I thought about it, and I'm going to go into a warden's conference next month. And I think it's something I can do for God, for the church, and I was very honoured to be asked to do it, so I'm going to accept it with the Lord's blessing.
Amen. What does that entail? What does a warden entail?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, 100% sure. It means you've got, well, you have to do a count of congregation attendance each Sunday, and I think there's something to do with the money, maybe the abundant sharing and things like that. But I'm not sure of all the responsibilities, but it's a fulfilling role, and somebody's stepping down, so Louise and Simon saw fit to ask me if I care to step up to the plate.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
So, yeah, I think I'm sure it's going to be a blessed position, something I can, of course, help others and promote the word, at the same time.
Yeah. That's
so
great.
I look forward to that.
That's wonderful, Kim. Yeah? Promotion comes from God. He promote you so that you can promote him.
Indeed. Indeed. So, yes. So I'd like to ask Nancy if she's on air to perhaps share with us.
Nancy's on the air.
Hi, Nancy. Hi. God bless you.
I just got back. We've been working a lot all week, and I just had to take the dog to the groomer, so I had to go pick him up at 3 o'clock because we had appointments this morning and we were out. And so I came back, he was ready, ran and got him, just got back, and I'm going to have a nice cup of tea.
Yeah.
And a piece of homemade banana bread. And then I'm going to be working on my computer while I'm listening to all you wonderful folks. And Scott's here too. Scott's over here too. He's got his Kindle on. So
hi, Scott.
Bless you, Scott.
Hi, Scott. God bless you.
Hey, God bless everyone.
Bless your heart, brother.
I can probably sit here and listen with you, really.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on and listen, and I'm right here by the thing, and I'm going to be typing, so
okay.
I got a project I got to get out. So.
Yeah, you're a busy woman.
Well, it's a work day, what can I tell you, you know. And, of course, I was up all night, as you well know.
Yes.
Watching April's plane fly back from Africa.
Yeah.
So she just got home, and she's back in her apartment, and I think she was going into work.
Oh, wow.
At some point today. Oh, yeah.
She takes after Grandma, huh?
Yeah, so she's a busy girl.
Oh, I love her.
And the baby came in the middle, and I got to feed her some applesauce. Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Amen. If you want to pass it on to someone else, Nancy.
Well, Scott's here.
Yeah.
Kim, Christine is on. Cynthia here.
Yeah, Cindy's here.
Yeah, Cindy, I want to hear how you're doing and everything.
Still dealing with a lot of mundane things. Dealing with the RA, dealing with insurance and everything. Everything's getting done finally. Everything just seems like it just takes forever.
Yeah.
But it's going, and I just stay in the word and everything and keep my mind in the right place. Otherwise,
it's the paperwork. I hate paperwork. I want to shred everything. And just tell, if they ever ask me for anything, I'll say, you know what, just put me in jail. I can witness there, too. I'm not going to do any more paperwork. But any government, anybody, I'm done.
Well, it's just stupid things. I mean, I had my vision insurance since, right at the beginning of January, because my insurance I had with Goose ran out at the end of December. But just today, I got my prescription card, and my thyroid has been sitting there for a week, And I don't know why. I have no idea what their holdup was, but it's just stupid things like that. I don't know. And they go, oh, yeah, you're all set. And then they have to call again 3 days later. That's just, it'll all be over with, you know. It's all just, you know, details. It's not a big deal. And I'm doing stuff around the house. Eventually I'll go back to work. I'm probably not going to look for a job until March because I have a lot of stuff I want to do around here that I'm working on. I started trying to clean some stuff out, and I'm just not ready for too much of that yet, so I'll just do the other stuff for now.
Bless your heart.
And I'll get to that, you know. I'll just do it as I can, you know. But I don't know, everything's good. I'm blessed. Like, I realize how much God blessed me with, and I just keep focused on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn it off the speaker.
Okay, so then.
That's awesome.
How about Scott? Do you have any there?
No. Oh, here we go. Okay.
God bless.
God bless everyone.
Love to hear your voice.
Good evening. Yeah, it's great to hear from you. And I'm keeping that trip in prayer in the spring to Europe. If God gets me there somehow
and
works it out, I'll put it in His hands and not make it my effort. I'll just pray about that. And
love to see you.
Yeah, I'd love. It'd be a real blessing to get to see all of you. That just would be just such a blessing. I'm gonna keep it in prayer and. As long as it's not made. Well, that's my niece's wedding, of course, but. I spoke with Bambi about a week ago. I was helping her set up her computer and get her routers working. So I think she's still trying to get her technical issues straightened out with her Skype, I believe. So, But hope to see her back on soon.
Yeah, we miss her.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
And just we had some great fellowships here the last week about just keeping strong with that everyday walk with God. It's an everyday walk, and God rewards those who diligently seek Him out, and we keep Him first and foremost every day, and that's where we're going to see the results. Not just, okay, God, thank you for delivering for me. I'll talk to you in 3 weeks from now. See ya. It's an everyday walk. So it's getting fellowship with our Father every day is so important. So anyways, I'll turn it over to you. And I'm going to sit here with Mom and listen in. God bless everyone.
Okay, so I'm going to turn it over to Anna and Pedro.
Hi. Me or you? Okay.
God bless you guys.
Hi, love everybody. You. Nice to hear you. Thank you, Emmy and Nancy and Scott and Kim for your sharing. And it has been a really good week since last fellowship. Now it's a little more quiet, but work is coming and it's really nice. People are getting used to my presence at work. People, they are only men, but they are getting used to that. They speak more properly. They don't say so many dirty words, but...
I could just see Anna like giving them a glare, and they're like,
"You know what happened last week? They were saying probably something happened because it's a huge factory plant, and the equipments are huge. So something happened, and oops, sorry, it's my cat. She's biting me.
Oh,
oh my gosh! And." And the one of the guys starts saying a lot of dirty words. They forget I'm there, so I'm on the other room, so I have to get near him. And I didn't say properly a really bad, bad word, but I said a little one. So he said, "What's that?" And then he was looking at me, "Oh, I'm sorry." They forget, it's normal, but it's okay. It's funny, anyway. And today I have I blessed them with two cakes. They were thrilled. And the most important that last week after the fellowship, I think Lawrence probably already shared with Kim. I put in practice what I learned
about
prayer and talking to God about my wish to speak the word, the truth, and to someone that day. It was last Friday. I wanted to talk to someone about the word, to share, and the work was not being so much then. I spent all more than half of the day looking at the computer, playing or whatever. So the next day, last Friday, I had the chance during lunchtime to share the truth of God. There are two colleagues of mine were speaking, one Gerhard and the other is a new one, just like either. And it was saying some stuff and I was saying what God says in His Word, and I asked God to inspire me. And in the middle of the conversation He said, oh, I ask a priest, aren't we all sons of God? And I asked him, how old is your daughter? 6 years old. And all the girls with 6 years old are your daughters? And the guy, what? There's a difference, why? It was nice, because we have a nice conversation and I have the opportunity to share. And he was, you know, like thinking about it. But he's a planner, he's on the first floor, you don't have a lot of time to speak unless lunchtime. So I'm waiting for the next lunch we have together so we can speak more.
Oh,
and the work start coming, and now I'm not having so many time. But it's really nice. Another thing I was thinking about what Pedro shared, the speaking in tongues, it's so nice because we don't let anyone ever told you that you don't do this or that you don't do a lot, because we all speak in tongues. And it's the basic way of worship and the basic way of love, of to do anything for God and for His family. And sometimes, not sometimes, but almost every day during my driving way to work, or coming back home, I'm always speaking in tongues or singing in tongues. And I think God also blessed me with the musics on the radio, because they are all the ones I like. It's nice to see, because I even speak in tongues for my work at place, because it's a dangerous one, hazardous one, and can have a... It will not happen there, but there can be toxic and acids, and it's not near the place where I work. But if something blows up, everybody's going.
Would go.
Perish, disappear. So, but there's no problem with that. I pray in tongues for the place, and even for my colleagues and for my manager, the guy I work for. Just to see how it works. It's a spiritual thing that affects their lives, and they don't notice, but I know, I see that in their lives too. It's really, it's good not only being led by God, but doing stuff not only for us or for the family, but also for the others.
Yeah.
So, I love to love people.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, I don't know if you want to share something.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you are start stealing my sharing, because...
we didn't have time.
No.
Because as soon as I arrive home, I have to take...
I was sharing about speaking in tongues in a way of serving. And I just want to make a little introduction, because before we moved here, it was going to make 10 years now, this year.
Yes.
We were living in another part of the country. It was the same distance from the capital, but there was a better way to get there, because there's a big highway near the place you were. It was just 1 kilometer from the highway. And there was this believer, David, that every Monday would come to stay with me, because I had the Mondays free on my school schedule. I don't know, they just happened. And we speak almost all day, you know, we will arrive around 10 in the morning and we'll leave around 5 in the afternoon. And we will speak in tongues for everything. We have to speak in tongues, the ministry, the believers. We even have a prayer request list that people that have need for situations that needed to be prayed for. And we would do that by speaking in tongues. And that goes for more than a year, and many things happen there. And I'm not the kind of being dwelling in the past. I mean, some things done there and then were good and work well, and we can maybe do it again other way, I don't know. But I was sharing last time about the speaking in tongues that happened, and was great for me doing it. And after that, I was... this weekend I was speaking with Hannah, who was driving in the car, and she was telling me that probably we should do something like that I have done in the past with the feed, and she could do it with me maybe Saturdays, because it's on weekends that we have more free time. And we are in a good place, because we are 10 minutes driving from the beach, you know, so we can go to the seaside, and it's a long, long walk on the seaside with nobody around, because it's the kind of real long beach, kind of wild even there. No, even in the summer you can walk for 2 hours and you won't meet no one from the place where people go parking their cars. You can go for a long, long, long time walking without seeing anyone. So what I'm saying here is, and I was remember these verses in Colossians 4, about the verse 12, that says, the Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant, the doulos of Christ, saluted you, always laboring, and this is the part I was singing about, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Mm-hmm. And then again, after what comes, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So, we are not trying to be like Epaphras, we are not comparing among ourselves, though God says that's foolish, but I believe we can have a service of speaking in tongues, and me and Hannah, we are, you know, going for it. We'll see how it's going to work, because many sometimes we have to be, you know, persistent, and even here in Colossians 4, in the chapter 2, says, continue in prayer and watch it in the same with thanksgiving. So it's something you have to continue to do, you know. We have to, of course, we have to do it with God. We have to give it to God, not put it on your shoulders, because it will be too much difficult if you're going to be like, you know, discipline yourself to do this or that. That's not the point. It's believe God to encourage us to do it. And what I was more interested here is to let you know that we will have you in our prayer list. I just take note for praying for Scott for that trip in the springtime to Europe. We're going to pray for that, Scott. And other things that can come, you know, if in your life you need anything to be prayed for, well, first of all, you should go to God yourself, and you should give it to God yourself. But if even so, there's some pressure or some need, and you believe we can help you with prayer, we don't need to know what the situation is. You just can send a mail. You better send to Anna, because I don't check my personal email many times, just my work email. But Anna is always on top of it. So you just say, pray for, you know, for Nancy, for Scott, whatever, for health, for finances, for family, even for peace, whatever. We don't need to know the situation. God knows. And it will help us to do that, because we have a purpose, a specific purpose, you know. And as a thing that we really like to is, you know, to be able to serve and to be taking time for speaking in tongues for people. And it's also very good for ourselves, you know. It's we are kind of not being only doing the best for others, but also for ourselves, you know. It's like, well, speaking in tongues is also perfect prayer, and is exhortation and edification in the spirit. So even when we don't pray for specific situations, we are doing a great spiritual thing. And it's good. We'll see what God opens for. We just would like to do it like a, not a principle, but a steady thing maybe, and see what it happens spiritually, because it's also, I believe it's also a part of moving God's word, is putting the spiritual side on the work, you know, and the speaking in tongues, the spiritual part of God's power being manifest through not only prayer, but worshiping Him too in spirit and truth. It's a big deal, I believe, and I believe God will move, because we don't know exactly what we're saying when we speak in tongues, but surely we are speaking God's things and things that matter to God. And it's like when you pray with your understanding, you give God the right to move in your life, because you just declare it, you know. And I believe when we do it in tongues, in spirit, similar things will happen to God's power will be released. And we have to do it. It's not angels who's going to do it, you know. I don't know if Jesus Christ is doing it. I don't have any information of that. But I know God's word tells us to do that, you know, to speak in spiritual songs and hymns. And I believe in first century, those believers that have been from a Jewish tradition and they have their hours of prayer, you know, as Jewish believers, and when they receive the speaking in tongues, some people believe that they probably would start doing the same hours of prayer, but by speaking in tongues also, and they will be, you know, compromised with it, compromising the sense of being faithful to it. And that's probably one of the reasons, I'm not saying it for sure, I can't show it from the word, but I believe in my heart that it can be a big deal of the moving of the word, because, and it's also important because, as Hannah was saying, everybody can do it, and, well, if I'm not too comfortable sometimes to being people to testify the word, you know, I'm not like Hannah that likes to talk to people and chat about stuff and hear people, but we can always do something, and this is a part we can do. Maybe some will do it with more ease than others, because I don't know, that depends on our nature too. But bottom line is, we would like to pray for any need that the family has, and if you have any need that you'd like to be prayed for, just send a mail to Hannah, and we'll keep it on our prayers, and we'll try to start doing by speaking in tongues too. And even if there's no specific need from anyone, we'll do it anyway, because we will move with God. And that was my sharing. So I don't know who's left.
Jason.
So Jason, okay.
Yeah. Before you hand it over, that's great. That really blessed me, what you shared.
All right.
Great heart, you know, and God's working in us. And but that really blessed me, what you shared, Pedro. And like the prayer is just very important, very very important. So okay, Jace, anything in your heart, bro?
God bless you, everybody. I've been blessed just sitting in the corner, being nice and quiet. I think God was just working that in my heart to do tonight, and I've been enjoying listening to everybody. And Amy started off, and God just sparked a thought inside my heart. I don't think any of us are normal, Amy. But then, if you look in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God refers to His people who do the things, who keep his ways, and who keep His word, as a peculiar people, but also a peculiar treasure. And I looked that up while you were speaking, Amy, and that peculiar treasure that you are, and each one of us all is, to God, according to Thayer's definition, is a peculiar treasure or valued property, right? Or a wealth closely shut up as good special jewel, is what Strong's says. And it just blew me away. I thought, that's what we mean to God. And He doesn't care about normal, because what is normal? Do you know what I mean? What the adversary wants us to be normal so that we can think along his lines. And then when we become normal, we're thinking, we're just slotting in with the rest of the world. So I'm glad I'm not normal. Sometimes I'm glad I'm not normal. Sometimes I wish I was, though. But But yeah, that really blessed me. Thanks for that. That really inspired me a lot, actually. God wrote something in my heart. Kim taught on The New Man Walks in Humility 2 Thursdays ago. And I sat down at home, and I'm just starting to get into the teaching, and she goes to Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. And I read through it, and I thought, each time I try to just listen to a teaching, it doesn't work, because God just hits me with something. And just this whole thought line, in fact, I meant to share it last week, and I didn't have my book, and I'd forgotten, and something else came to my heart. But Kim mentioned about when we get up in the morning, we put our clothes on and this, that and the other. Well, the funny thing is, what God has shown me, like last week, Kim shared in her teaching, she mentioned about putting on your clothes, and it reminded me of it all over again. And I just wrote it down. So when I go to work in the morning, I do not go in my pajamas or my night clothes. My night clothes are for sleeping in, but they're no good for me to work in. So I first take off or put off my night clothes, and straight after, I put on my work clothes. The thing is, everything gives off something. So night clothes and dressing gowns are lazy attire. And so a person is comfortable, restful, relaxed when he or she is wearing night clothes, right? No good for working in. So to go out to work, I need to wear the right clothing for the type of work that I will be doing. Then I both feel ready and am ready to do a day's work. And it's crazy because we just do it by nature, but if we thought about that along the same lines of when it comes to walking in the new man in Christ, we can't walk in the new man in Christ if we've still got the old man on.
Yeah.
And we won't walk in the old man if we put on the new man, because we put the old man to one side, we put him off. Just reckon him dead, basically. Also, in order to be in a room, I have to exit or leave the room or the area that I am in before I can enter the room that I want or need to be in. It takes action. If I sit there thinking about it, I'm not going to get to it. If I sit there thinking, right, I'm going to have a cup of coffee right now, it's not going to come. Because I've got to put the action of getting off my backside, walking out into that kitchen, putting the kettle on, you know what I mean, and put the coffee in the cup, blah, 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 whatever it takes to make that coffee. That's trash for me to do. So it just really, yeah, God was just working with me personally, showing me kind of the reality in the physical, in the physicals, like a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. You are the lights of this world. We're not literally light bulbs plugged into an electric socket, but spiritually we are lights, and wherever we go, the darkness cannot handle us, because we're shining bright. It takes action to put on the new man, and I can quite easily go through my day and slip a thought here and there, and if I'm slipping a thought, that could make my day slip, or it could contribute towards my day slipping. So if I can catch myself on that thought before I slip on it, then I can keep going and have a great day, a fantastic day, and not wearing my night clothes, but wearing my work clothes. And then when I get home, I'm ready to, at night, when all my day's done, everything's done, then I can relax, and then I can put on my bed clothes, my night clothes, whatever you want to call it. And, just really, we can stay thankful all the time, but when I'm in that place, I just, Father, thank you so much. Even if I've had the toughest day on earth, thank you, Father, so much. You were with me, you got me through it, you provided everything I needed. And it's easy for our for our perception or our thinking to fall down amid the circumstances going on around us, people coming at us from left, right and centre sometimes, then I draw my mind back to Jesus Christ. How did he handle it? And wow, that's incredible. That's an incredible mind job for me. It really is, to think about how he knew what he was on this earth to do. He knew what he was going to be facing. And who was it said earlier about the joy set before him? Was that Amy as well, I think?
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, he knew. He knew what he was going to have to suffer. And it's not like he relished the thought of suffering. He didn't. In Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to God three times, if this cup can pass from me, you know, is there another way, Father? If not, then I'll do it if it's your will. You know, and Aaron said ages ago, it was like Adam in the garden said, not thy will, but my will. But Jesus in the garden said, not my will, but thy will. And it's just incredible how he's ready to go through 72 hours of torture. It doesn't bear thinking about what he actually went through before being crucified, before being humiliated in the streets and spat on, and carrying that lump of wood and then just being pinned up to it. It's like, man, I don't know how I could forget. I don't think I'd have been as good as he was in that situation. I don't know about the forgiveness state. I might be counting people's names as, I'll remember you, I'm coming back. If that were me in that situation. But then I think about, well, the apostles, what they went through. Oh my gosh, man, they weren't perfect, but they went through stuff. It's because they were walking in the new man. And they knew that walking in the new man brings great rewards in heaven. And it's funny, I shared something with somebody this week. God just put it on my heart to send something to him. And with what I was sharing was, you know, don't dwell upon the treasures on earth, but dwell upon the treasures in heaven. And God's going to really bless you mightily. And it was like an inspired word for that person at that time. Just to encourage the person, you know. And we all need it. When I was reading it throughout, I thought, Lord, can somebody send me this? I like this. This is encouraged me as well. So, I just got really blessed looking at this analogy of the clothing we put on, the clothing we put off, and how we're going to wear the right stuff for the right thing, the right job, whatever it is we need to be doing through our day. Even if we're washing up in the kitchen, you know, or if we're hoovering the floor, vacuuming the floor, or if we're clearing up the backyard, or whatever it is, it's just putting on the right stuff for the right occasion. And I think, for me personally, you know, my heart needs to be ready when it comes to sharing the Word of God with people. If I'm out and about, I want to be ready to share. So, and with that, my desire for this year is to see a great increase of labourers, definitely in my own life and in the fellowship here, and, you know, people that are going to do the things. I know we've met so many people over the years that come and go, they come and go, they come and go, they come and go, they come and go. They get fed. And Lawrence was saying to me this week, actually, about hungry people or labourers, and it made perfect sense. We don't pray for the hungry people because they'll always be hungry, and they'll always come after more and more and more all the time. They'll always be asking for more, asking for more, asking for more. And something he also said to me years ago, I hadn't heard of before, but was that if you give a man a fish, you'll feed him for a day. But if you teach a man to fish, you'll feed him for life. And Lawrence was one that first taught me how to clean windows. And 18 years later, I'm still cleaning windows. So I'm able to earn my own crust, not have somebody else do it all for me, do you know what I'm saying? And it blesses me, because then now I can go out there, I can earn my money, not just my money, but God's money as well. And then I can do what the Word of God says with that money. And okay, Lord, how much do you want me to give to the minister? Where I'm being fed, where I'm receiving the right doctrine, the fellowship, the ministers at the fellowship who are ministering continually. Father, how much do you want me to put in there? And whatever he puts in my heart, that's it, it's done. And then it's the challenge is to trust God that he's going to provide everything I need in every single area of my life, no doubts about it whatsoever. And yeah, it's like stepping off a mountain sometimes. But you know that if you step off a mountain and God says, do it, you know he's going to hold your feet. He's going to make a bridge appear for you to cross over to where you've got to get to, even if you're 1,000 feet up in the air. It doesn't matter.
Well, you've done it for Mr. Magoo.
Exactly, you see? Mr. Magoo. Mr. Magoo prospered.
Pretty epic.
But yeah, the earth, you know, the ground under our feet is solid, but it's not as solid as when God holds us.
Amen.
And if I step into the air, I know God's got me. I'm not going to be stupid, mind. And have the tempter come to me and say, go on, jump off. Got to catch you. Because I'll turn around and tell him, why didn't you go away? That's a polite version of what I'd say. So, yeah. You know, the speaking in tongues Pedro and Anna were just talking about. There's speaking in tongues, there's tithing and abundance sharing, there's reading the scriptures, going through the teaching, and retaining that word in our hearts and going out and just actually doing it. And then we expect just great results to happen. When I go out each day, I just give it to God and I say, you open the doors you want me to walk through. I'm not going to try. I'm doing my day's work, but if you want me to speak, you're going to have to bring the people to me. And somebody needed a hug yesterday. They served me in a bakery whenever I go there, on about how was your Christmas and New Year, and oh yeah, it was okay. Well, yeah, her partner's just decided he doesn't want to be with her anymore because of one thing and another. But they'll be friends and live under the same roof. I'm like, what? So I just, as we're talking, I saw tears coming to her eyes. I said, you need a hug. So that, I just told her she needed a hug and just stood forward and gave her a hug. But then God just inspired me to start praying for her. And I did, and started just commanding some things in Jesus Christ's name. I claimed the blood of Jesus Christ through her. And I went into the bakery 20 minutes or so later, and she was smiling. She was fresh-faced. I said, you all right? She said, I am now, thank you. And I thought, ah, that's all I need to hear. So, you know, I can't force people to come to fellowship, but make it available. So, yeah, it's just, I don't look for the open doors, but I look to God to open the doors. And that's what I'm expecting this year, great results. So, thank you for patiently listening.
That was wonderful, Jason. Thank you ever so much. Really great inspiration.
I got something. Can I share something?
Yeah, come on.
So, Monday I got up and I went to work and I sailed to work. I got to work in about 39 minutes, which was amazing. Because now all the children have gone back to school, the traffic becomes a lot heavier. But then Tuesday, I get up and I leave the normal time, and two of the roads out of the village, they've decided to close, and I can't get out. I don't know what possesses them to do two roads, and to be real honest, they closed one road, but there was nobody there working. They were all on the other road working, but the roads were closed. You couldn't gain access. And I'm really, like, battling with myself, and I'm doing U-turns, and I'm turning around, not just me, many of the people that live in the village. But also there's a lot of cars that come off the dual carriageway and come through our village to avoid traffic, which makes it even harder when you're trying to get out of the village because there's loads of cars trying to do the same thing as you are. And I'm getting very frustrated. And lo and behold, my husband rings me. God always seems to tell him when I'm in desperate need. And he said, what's the problem? I said, there's just the road's closed and I just don't know how to get out of the village. And he said, well, or which is the best way to go because of traffic. And I said, my sat-nav isn't working properly. It's telling me to go one way and it's telling me I'm going to take an hour and 43 minutes. And he said, well, why don't you just ask God? And I just sort of like looked into the sky and thought, why didn't I think of that? So it just goes to show how easy it is, yeah. You know, when you try to do things in your own strength, when really the simple thing to do is just to ask God.
Yeah.
And he said to me, just ask God, he'll tell you which way to go. And then I got a message about 10 o'clock. Have you arrived at work yet? In other words, did you ask God or did you actually go on your own strength? And I messaged him back and I said, no, I'm in work, thank you. And thank you for the reminder. So that was my sharing.
Thank you.
That is so funny. He sounds like my daughter when she was 5 years old, sitting in the back seat of my car going, Mommy, did you even ask God?
Yeah. God bless you all. And Lawrence was just sharing about the wonderful ministers that we have out there that share teachings or do heart sharings, and gave me this little booklet, and it's called Nothing in My Hand I Bring, and it's by a wonderful guy called Ken Petty. Tonight I would read this to you. It's a small little booklet, and there's a couple of verses of scripture, and I'll start off. So it says, my wife, and her name's Darlene, so Ken and Darlene Petty, my wife and I recently viewed the movie The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill and Came Down a Mountain, and it is quite a good movie, actually. This is an entertaining tale about two English surveyors who come to a small town in Wales, just across the English border, to measure the nearby mountain. Now, Wales is about 15 minutes from our house. We can jump on the motorway and we can be in Wales in about 20 minutes, because obviously we have to go over the bridge as well, which I hasten to add now is free. They don't charge us anymore because the people that have driven over it have already contributed all their finances, and the bridge is now paid for, so we get to travel over it for free, which is great for every one of us. They want to determine if it meets the 1,000 feet height requirement to be placed on the maps of Great Britain. For generations, the townspeople have prided themselves that theirs is the first mountain upon entering Wales from England. They are appalled at the suggestion that their mountain may in fact be categorised as just a mere hill. The surveyors do indeed find that the mountain is only a hill with an elevation of 984 feet. So it was 16 feet short of being a bona fide mountain. So anything over 1,000 feet is classed as a mountain. Anything below 1,000 feet is classed as a hill. The townspeople are disturbed by this survey, and the preacher, Reverend Jones, and the owner of the town pub, known as the Morgan, which is called the Goat, since he is the only person who does not attend Sunday church services, lead the movement to get the hill placed on the maps as a mountain. Morgan proposes that they build up the summit of the hill to a 1,000-foot level.
Reverend Jones agrees to this plan only upon the condition that the soil be brought up from their gardens at the base of the mountain, and thus the hill will become a mountain by the hard work and sweat of himself and his congregation. Reverend Jones dies in the process of making the hill into a mountain, and his dying wish is to be buried on the top of the mountain. Once the work is finished, the hill is again surveyed and found to be a mountain of 1,002 feet. As I watched this film, Reverend Jones' dedication of this work to God caught my attention. It makes for a rather amusing and intriguing story, yet in my mind it illustrates a great spiritual error that has been propounded for centuries in the Christian churches. We have been taught that through his Son, Jesus Christ, God has reached down to man and has done a great work on our behalf. Now it is up to us to complete it. We must spiritually dig in our gardens, fill up our buckets and trudge up that hill by our own toil and sweat to finish the work. All of man's religions focus on the works of man, something he does to be accepted with God. All of them, including the religion that has been fraudulently mixed with true Christianity. It instructs their followers that they must bring something in their hands, while other religions may ask their adherents to spiritually build the entire mountain. The Christian religion tells its disciples that they must merely add the last 16 feet. However, the truth from God's word is that we can no more add the final 16 feet than when we could have laid the first 984 feet. If God had not fully accomplished the work for us, we could never have made up the difference, no matter how small. What a wonderful blessing to realize that God finished the work of our salvation and redemption through Jesus Christ, and that we need not add anything by our own efforts. So if you like to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to have a look at verse 8 and verse 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A line in an old church hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, sums up this truth. Nothing in my hand I bring, simple to thy cross I cling. Jesus Christ accomplished the work at Calvary. All man's works had not brought him closer to God. Our Lord and Saviour gave his life to reconcile us back to God. Our good works can't add to that reconciliation, and our lack of good works can't subtract from it. We don't try to make ourselves more complete. We simply accept the completeness we have in him. Colossians 2:10 says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Man's basic problem has never been his works, but his nature. If his problem had been merely works, there would have always been the possibility of changing himself. Having a sin nature from birth leaves man in a hopeless condition. All his works are useless. Ephesians 2:1-3. and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the courses of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We have all tried to be good and do good, and yet we fell time and time again. We couldn't reform ourselves, but God changed us in Christ by imparting to us a new nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. While we received the sin nature by our first birth, we were given the new nature when we were born again. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Consider how tremendous this new birth is. We are no longer sinners who are deserving of God's wrath. We acquired a new identity. While our identity in the world is determined by what we do, our new identity is not based on what we do, but rather on what God has already done for us in Christ. We are now sons of God. That's our true identity. 1 John chapter 3. And verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, but it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We just read about our former condition from the first three verses of the second chapter of Ephesians. So let's continue reading from verse 4. So Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to go from verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of building mountains or trying to make a hill, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Previously, we were dead in trespasses and sin, with no spirit life in us. When God created new life in us, and made us his sons, we became his workmanship. Does this change things in our lives? Oh yes. Everything about us now is different. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. The believer no longer has a sin problem. but he may have an identification problem. The first command given to the believer in the church epistles is not concerned with his behavior, but instead with his thinking patterns. Romans chapter 6 and verse 9 to 11. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death have no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word reckon is in the imperative or the command mood. We are commanded to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive unto God in the same way we reckon it of Jesus Christ. Only after we truly recognize who we really are can the corresponding behavior follow. Otherwise, we will continue to see ourselves as the unworthy ones, trying so hard to win acceptance before God through our own works. Christianity is not a system of good works to be done, but an entirely new life to be lived. Galatians chapter 2. And in verse 20 it says, I am, or was, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul had been a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the masters in doing religious works, and he was at the top of his class. After he was born again, Paul recognized that his old life was forever gone through Jesus Christ's works at Calvary, and that he had a new life with Christ living in him. Sin no longer had the hold over him. So did he no longer sin? Certainly he succumbed to sin at times and yet refused to identify with it. Romans chapter 7, and we're going to read from verse 15 to verse 20. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Some may think that Paul was in a state of denial. He sinned and then he turned around and said he didn't do it. How could Paul live such a lie? Actually, he was living the truth. He no longer identified with the old self, but rather reckoned it dead. He instead now identified himself with the new nature the new man. What he did had no effect on who he was. And yet, who he was now dramatically affected what he did. As he learned who he was in Christ, Paul began to no longer walk by a code of religious rules by the Spirit of God. He truly identified himself with the new nature and began to manifest that nature. As we do the same, we produce the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We don't produce this fruit by our own works, but by walking according to the new nature we have been given. The old nature of flesh did not gain us our salvation, and it certainly will not bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in our Christian lives. How many times young Christians have experienced the joy of the new birth? Life has become new, and they stand in awe of what God has done for them. They haven't yet been told that their mountain is only a hill. They don't know that a life of toil and sweat to make themselves acceptable to God is about to begin. Yet after their brief heavenly honeymoon, they are issued their buckets and their shovels and commanded by older, well-meaning, but misinformed Christians to go to work. They must reform the flesh and make it produce spiritual fruit. God's word warns of the folly of such behavior. Galatians 3:3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Come on, guys, get your buckets. Get your spades. Let's go to work. No. Are you tired of spiritually walking up the mountain with another bucket of dirt? Perhaps you have stumbled so many times trying to build up that mountain that you've quit trying. Why not leave your buckets behind and go up to the top? This time, instead of working to build the mountain, why not simply enjoy the view? Sweet and tender fellowship with God. Once we quit trying to carry up the mountain the toil of our own hands, we will truly learn the true secret of life. What matters is not what we take up the mountain, but what we take down from the mountain to share with those in the valley of human need. There is a song called The Mountain by Stephen Curtis Chapman, a contemporary Christian artist. One of the verses in the song is, "You bring me up here on the mountain for me to rest and learn and grow. I see the truth up on the mountain, and I carry it to the world far below." All our works will not make us any more complete, nor add one cubit to our spiritual stature. We rest in the truth that we are his workmanship, created to do good works, not those of our own. Not of those of our own making, but his. Having then emptied ourselves of our own thoughts and ways, we can bring God's love to a dying world and work with God to accomplish his purposes. Isaiah 55, and we're going to read verse 6 to 11. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Every farmer knows of his inability to make a seed into an ear of corn or a tomato. Yet, if he plants the right seed in the proper soil and allows the rain to nourish it, he will receive an abundant harvest. The seed grows because God has designed it to do so. It accomplishes what God intended. God has created us in Christ Jesus as his workmanship. We have tried so hard to make ourselves into something. Why not rather recognize our ability to change ourselves and simply believe God's word? We acknowledge our new identity in Christ and walk by that new nature. Only then will we accomplish that which God pleases. And then his word will bring forth fruit in our lives. When we come to him with nothing in our hands, he fills our lives with great abundance. We enjoy the view from the mountaintop rather than always struggling. We mustn't struggle to get to the top. We learned from Ephesians that God has already seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As we focus on God's work in Christ, on our behalf rather than on our own works, our thoughts will be on the things above. Then one day soon, who we are in Christ will be fully realized. Going to end up Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, that's really
great. That beautiful. Nothing absolutely in my hand I bring.
Amen.
So when we allow God to go to work and we cease from our own works, our own ideas of how we should do things, just let God work in you. And he will really work in you and show you, and prayer, you know, through our prayer, through speaking in tongues also, much. You know, nothing will happen about that speaking in tongues much. God will give you daily what you need to do, and it's not going to come from you, it's going to come from him. He'll put those desires in you, and he'll give you his desires. So really, like, you know, we need to cease from our own works, and our own ways, our own ideas. We don't need to follow any patterns or formats, but we need to be led by the Spirit of God and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, just like Jesus Christ did. He's our greatest example. So with that, I think we'll just close out of a word of prayer and have some manifestations. Okay, so thank you all for joining. We look forward to you joining us next week as well, and in the meantime, have a fantastic time from now to next week.
Me? Okay. Father God, what a wonderful time we have had with you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy, Thank you, Father, for how you continue to guide us by the life that lives in us, the Christ that you have given us, God. Thank you, Father, that you open our eyes, that we can see ourselves as you see us. Thank you, Father, that we can rest in your word and in your accomplishments that you have done for us, and that you have sent your Son, and in that he has finished all the work, and all we need do is walk with you, Father. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for how it comforts us each day. Thank you, Father, for us being able to walk with you, how we live and breathe and have our being in you, God. Thank you, Father, for being our Abba. Thank you for the words that we're going to hear. They're specifically for us. Thank you how they edify us, Father, that they comfort us, that they exhort us to a more worthy endeavor. Thank you, Father, that we grow by those words that we are going to hear. And we become more mature and have a greater and greater understanding, Father, of who we really are. And thank you, God, that once we have this great understanding, that we can, day by day, moment by moment, agree and speak and walk like sons that we are. I thank you for that, Father. And thank you, Father, for your gracious, precious, intimate relationship that you have with each one of us, God, and how you have allowed us to be here and given us such a precious gift of life through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for this fellowship and for all the words that we're going to hear, for blessing each and every individual, for hearing and seeing the needs that we have, and, Father, for them just being taken care of, God, that there is nothing that stands in between you and us and our relationship with you, that you make sure that you have taken care of every need and concern so that we are free to walk with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ for all of our lives. Any transitioning that's going on, Father, that you are our guide, and that, Father, you lead us, you give us the inspiration to move forward in our lives, and that you have everything worked out, every detail. And I thank you, God, that we just don't get so overly conscientious sometimes that we're just trying to figure it all out and walk in our own sparks. So I thank you for that. I lift you all of our beautiful believers here, and I thank you for the other fellowships going on around the country and the world that keep you first, Father, that you answer every prayer, and that you just build that tight relationship between believers and between yourself and your Son, Jesus Christ, that pure intimacy, Father, that we can have with you at all times. So I thank you for all the needs in the body right now, especially for Harrison. I lift him to you, and I thank you, Father, somehow for your hands of protection around all those children there, to just keep any of this garbage that's coming at them away. And I thank you for his heart right now, that you keep him at peace. I thank you for covering every financial need that they have and every physical need. I lift that to you. I thank you for April's trip home and for what a beautiful time she had. I had a great trip. Thank you for our family here, for all the things going on, God, that it just falls into place decently and in order. And thank you for the finances, Father, that are needed and necessary right now to move forward. I lift that to you. And I thank you for Sal and his fellowship, and Johnny and his fellowship, and over this weekend, God, that you just somehow just move the weather in a way that we can still be able to get together and keep centered around your word. I thank you for this all of our countries right now, Father, for what's going on in all of them. I thank you that your hand of protection is always over your people, but that we can pray and believe that God be in that, those positions of authority that make decisions in our life. And I especially, Father, bind and rebuke the hand of the adversary in this country where he's trying to get his socialistic thumb into everything that's going on that's not happening right now. Thank you for our future and what we have to look forward to when your son does come back. And that there's just no greater thing going on in our hearts. And we look forward to that every day. Thank you, Father, that we know your word and we know what's coming and that it's exciting. Thank you for that gathering together and for all of our rewards and just that time being a sweet, sweet permanent fellowship, Father, for all time. So I thank you also for open doors for us to speak your word and to hold us every day. And it just continued to inspire and give us wisdom in every situation, what to speak, how to speak, and to open hearts up, Father, so they can receive you and your son. So thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And I also thank you for Rob and Stephanie's trip this weekend. God keep them safe and let them have a wonderful time together, snowmobiling. So thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 So if anyone else wants to pray or wants to manifest, just go ahead.
My beautiful, beloved children, come unto me with your hearts every single day. Know that my throne room is open to you 24/7. For I, your Father and God, have called you here before the foundation of this world to be my sons and daughters, to reign in life, and to reign with me and my son for eternity. So continue to be bold in your confession. Be bold in your stand upon the truth of my word, and back down that darkness when it tries to rear its ugly head. Just knowing that your Father and my son Jesus Christ always, always look on your heart. We know every need. We've already gone before you to prepare everything that you will ever need in your life. Only just stand and seek an occasion to go forth knowing that we are one together, one unit, working together. And look towards that day, the return of my son, Jesus Christ, when it will be a glorious day.
My children, know this day that I am with you, and your prayers are in my ears, and I am ordering your steps. I am directing you. I am working in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. There's nothing that you have to fear, for I have provided everything for you. Just cast your burdens upon me, and as you do that, you release me to go to work to you, for you. Have great confidence in me, knowing indeed that I am a God of supply. I am your source. I am your Father. I delight in the fellowship with you as you come to me and open up your hearts. So my children, seek me. Seek my face. Seek my desires. I will put them in your heart as you let go of yourself and as you move in the new man that you are. So be strong this day. Have no fear. I am with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. I will not let you be defeated as you come to me, as you trust in me, as you declare my words from your mouth. Known indeed, I hold you by the right hand. I encamp around you, my children, so you can have great boldness in the day, in this day and time. And everywhere you put your foot is yours. My children, claim my great and precious promises. And as you do that, I will honor them and I will bring them to pass. And know that I love you with a deep and burning love. I know every care within your heart. I know every desire within your heart. I have put those desires there, my children. So pursue them. Pursue me. Pursue my son. Know who you are this day. Remember the words that I've spoken unto you. And peace be unto you this day.
Nahanya nahanikitito.
Naharaku Lamanaki Nahirshato Lamananyanakai Neshasam Mahayani Nakaya Nahanaho Shokoya Mehikyumbo Mehinikiti Mehineha Lakoya Masan. My beloved children, know that I, your God and your Father, have truly called you out. And yes, I have placed in you a lively spirit, my children. My children, know this and know it for a surety, that I do have plans for you, my children. I do have plans for you to walk boldly, for you to be victorious. I do have those plans. My children, just walk with me. For the words I have given you, I have written down for you. They are your basic words, but I am a lively God, and I have a lively word for you. So hold on to that which I am, which is life. For I have poured it into you. I have poured it into your hearts, my children. Be not afraid. Be not scared. But be ye bold, for you are a victorious, yes, a peculiar people. You will draw to you peculiar people. For I am your God and Father who has promised you wonderful, wonderful things. I am a God of life. I am a God of power. I am your Father who has all things and has given you all things. So stand, be bold, be courageous, and be assured that I will bring you to victory, great victory.
Thank you, Father, for a great evening gathered together in your name, the great teachings we've learned, testimonies, how people have progressed and really built themselves up according to your words, and the courage and strength they've had that we've had to overcome. Try to keep this world. You're just bold, so hold for so thanks to God for the great love, fellowship we've shared together spiritually, of course. And I just ask you to bless all the brothers and sisters this night. In Jesus' name, Amen.